You're listening to Vatican Radio. I'm Philippa Hitchin. Cherishing life, accepting death. That's the theme of the 2015 Day for Life initiative, celebrated by the Catholic Church in England and Wales on Sunday, July the 26th. Pope Francis this week sent a letter of support for the event, giving his blessing to all those working in any way for the promotion of the dignity of every human person from the moment of conception until natural death. Over 300,000 postcards will be distributed in Catholic parishes around the country, while the dayforlife.org website provides prayers, reflections, information and other resources to help guide individuals and families through difficult end-of-life decisions. Auxiliary Bishop of Westminster John Sherrington is in charge of life issues for the Bishops' Conference Department for Christian Responsibility and Citizenship. He talked to me about the 2015 Day for Life initiative and about Pope Francis's support for this annual event.
I'm delighted to receive the letter and the apostolic blessing from Pope Francis. He assures us and encourages us in our work for life at this time. And also he wishes to bestow his apostolic blessing on all those who work to protect dignity and to protect human life from conception through to natural death.
This is an annual Day for Life initiative, isn't it? Focusing this year on cherishing life and accepting death. Tell us more about the theme for this year in particular.
I'm very conscious that many of our parishioners find it very difficult to talk about death, and that many people in our society find it difficult to speak about death. This has been highlighted in many different fora in recent months. And so therefore, as a church, we thought that along with the bishops in Ireland and Scotland, we would focus for the Day for Life on the question of accepting death and cherishing life. Accepting death, we have to recognise that at some stage we will all die. We cherish life and will work hard to protect that life, to accept medical treatments that seek to cure and to heal. But we know that there comes a point in a terminal illness when any further interventions don't bring any benefit to the patient. And so therefore, part of our theme in accepting death is to recognise that every life is precious, and at the same time, there's no obligation to pursue medical treatment when it no longer has any effect or indeed harms the patient, or where the risks or burdens of the treatment outweigh the likely benefits. So therefore, we're not vitalistic, but recognise death as part of life.
These are very emotional issues, aren't they? And the Church has been involved in recent months with the end-of-life legislation that's been going through Parliament, showing that often it's very, very hard to convince people that the Church's view is the right one.
We face another challenge in Britain with the Robert Morris's bill on assisted dying, which will be introduced into the House of Commons on the 11th of September. The debate around Lord Falconer's bill last summer was very passionate. I think that we need to convince people of our teaching through speaking and giving testimony to the way in which people have received excellent palliative care, have been accompanied spiritually as they near death. And as a parish priest, I recall many times being present at the bedside of a dying person. And when surrounded by friends, surrounded by the family, it's a very sacred moment as one approaches death. And to be accompanied by prayer and to be at peace with others is a wonderful gift. So I think that through argument and also testimony, we need to demonstrate the way in which the Catholic teaching, in fact, truly protects the dignity of human life.
And yet, despite the work that you've been doing in this field, the work that the Church does around these important issues, it's still true that hundreds of thousands of elderly people in the UK are abused or neglected in the final years of their life each year. These are really shocking figures.
They're indeed very shocking figures. I think that we must work hard to ensure good care in hospitals. Sometimes shortages of staff, long work hours, etc., make it very difficult in particular situations to deliver excellent care. we've had some appalling scandals in hospitals and also in nursing homes. But there are also beacons of excellence that stand out and illustrate what can be done when it's properly managed and resourced. So I think that we must constantly be raising awareness about the dignity of the elderly and vulnerable person and seek to protect that. My concern about the proposed bill to assist dying is that it will make people more vulnerable. It will perhaps create situations where pressure is put on people to make a decision to end their life. And also, in terms of public safety, I have concern about the way in which the criteria will be assessed, such as the prognosis that a person won't live more than 6 months. It's very difficult to make that sort of judgment. People can be given a prognosis and then, in fact, live for much longer. The other concern is that people must have a well-settled intent that they wish to die. Well, again, many people, as they approach death, can be depressed. And in that situation, we should seek to relieve the depression, treat the depression, rather than we'd have to measure that very carefully if that bill became law.
Pope Francis has paid particular attention to the rights and the dignity of the elderly, hasn't he, over these past couple of years? Do you notice that making any difference to attitudes among Catholics and also more generally amongst the public?
I think it's wonderful the way in which Pope Francis has spoken so strongly about the dignity of the elderly person. And we, in fact, head our card for this Day for Life with the quotation, "How great a lie to make people think that lives affected by grave illness are not worth living." There is real concern in this country about the proposed assisted dying bill. So I think that by engaging people in the debate, many people are concerned about the implications of this bill, and many groups like disability rights groups and others are speaking out. So I think that the Pope, in his language and in his gesture, is communicating very strongly to people, and therefore they're giving more attention to him than perhaps in the past.
Finally, tell us a little bit about the way that this day will be marked, will be celebrated there in England and Wales.
Cards have been distributed to every parish in the country, and they are two-sided. On one side, there's an image of the Pope blessing an elderly lady, and the other is our statement about how we protect human life, beginning with an example of Kathleen, a much-loved grandmother who claps in and is taken to hospital, and then some of the questions that arise from her tragic situation. In every parish, these cards will be available. There'll be prayer for life, and there'll be a collection taken to support the work of the Anscombe Bioethics Centre and other pro-life charities. We expect that priests will talk about the Day for Life and also highlight to their parishioners that they should write to their MPs about the bill being introduced by Robert Maris. And also they'll be bidding prayers to pray for all those who are promoting the dignity of every person from conception until natural death.